Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it's the Rumble, and they did some rumbling. Welcome to Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring. Last night was the Royal Rumble, the one of the most interesting pay-per-views that WWE does. PLEs. Crap, what's that stand for again? Premium Live Event. That's the one. Good stuff. Divisive, I assume. I assume it was divisive. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Well, I enjoyed the hell out of the two Rumble, both Rumble matches and the title fight.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Oh, you just said the title fight. You didn't specify which one. You were really into that Bianca Belair Alexa Bliss match, I assume.
Obviously. An undeniable triumph that was.
Yes, I'm sure everyone felt real great after that going to the back. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about the Rumble. We got plenty to talk about. We do have a bit of an announcement that's going to come later on tonight, so hang out with us here. It is
those of you who are watching and not watching the Eagles game.
Nobody cares about the Bengals at Fightful. It's fine.
No, no one.
It's no, not
all conference final.
Anyway. No.
Thank you, those who are here.
We don't have anyone who's like trying to go to a Super Bowl hoping that the Bengals are there. We don't have that guy. It's fine. Ugh,
Super Bowl seems so loud. There's a big America show at the start of this game.
Always a big America show. It's America.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it'd be like Mod Mike and just watch both.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, split. Yeah. You know what? I might watch both. Oh, yeah. Let me.
Don't bother. But while you're here, you can go ahead and leave a thumbs up on the video. If you're watching us live, amazing. If you're watching us after the fact, even better. Just go ahead, toss a thumbs up while you're here. Leave us a comment. If you're here in the chat, hey, how are you? It's good to see you. If you're watching us after the fact, yeah, your comments go a long way. So go ahead, drop them. Good, bad, I don't care. Just talk. You can tell, you can be like, I don't think Tim likes it anymore. Well, you know what? You know what? You can still tell Tim that. Just leave
it. You can. Half the time you're right. At least half. If not, like, it's probably up to 80%. But
my
like,
God,
much of it I enjoy.
And you can subscribe to us here at Fightful Overbooked because we are over 13,000 strong and we're continuing to build. So we want more people putting their eyes here on Fightful Overbooked because that is a pretty cool way to hang out with us. A cool way to support us financially are with your super chats. Go ahead. You can donate one here at youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air. We pull up chats all the time, but you know, if you want to give us a little financial support, a little financial backing, we appreciate it every time. So go ahead, support us here. And you can join our Discord. There's a link in the description because the Fightful Overbooked Discord does exist, much to the chagrin of both Sean Ross Sapp and Jimmy Van. I told Jimmy about the Discord on the select Q&A that we did.
Did he get angry at you?
No. He was just like, we have a Fightful Overbooked Discord? I'm like, yeah, we do. He's like, I had no idea. I'm like, yeah, neither does Sean. It's fine. Just don't tell Sean. It exists. And here's the latest one is just Booyaka Booyaka Dipshit Son.
Oh, that was such a good bit. Yeah, we're focused. Okay.
All right, let's go. Yeah, the Discord chat was fun last night. I did pop in and out. We were doing a watch along on Overbooked, so thank you, Mod Mike, and of course, I assume Mod Dan was there too, hanging out. And yeah, it's good chat. It's the road to WrestleMania, Tim. This was an enjoyable
beginning. So many sign points. So many sign points last night.
Cody,
so many points.
Cody Rhodes was excited to point to the sign last.
Oh, night. He savored that moment. He just like swirled it around in his mouth and just like slowly stuck that finger towards it. He savored it.
He did the too sweet and the finger guns for the Bucks and this the all for the Elite.
Yeah, he's a very cool man, is why.
Yes, of course. Or as certain people who call into certain wrestling shows call him, a two-faced liar.
Aw.
That shit makes me laugh every time, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Cody's always been Cody. None of this is like I'm not going to say his departure wasn't a surprise, but like, he is Cody. Like, it wasn't like he was having a fun time there audience wise.
He wasn't in front of the audience. I don't know, behind the scenes doesn't matter, but I don't know. I assume you didn't watch the press conference last night after the show.
Oh, hell no.
It was 1 a.m. Even
I had a gig. I didn't get home until 3. I watched the whole Rumble this morning, bleary-eyed, like curled up on my couch.
You just got the baby like right here, and you're just
literally how it was. He was eating crackers out of the bag like an old man watching football, and it was just, we were just sitting on the couch together.
A1 parenting Tim right there. I'm not much better. Mine sits on my lap while we do this. Anyway, not all the time, but anyway. With Cody at the presser, so it's the Mountain Dew pitch black post-show. God. Pretty nuts. And like, they have members of the media there, and like Sean and Denise are there, and then like Nick from Wrestling Inc. is there. Like, basically there's like media members that I know and that other people, personality-wise, people know. And then there's other like WWE people there, like Ryan Satin's there is for WWE and Fox, and you got Matt Camp there who hosts The Bump and so on and so forth. And they're asking questions too. Cody comes out. And he, because they had both Royal Rumble winners, so they had Rhea, Cody, and they had Bray Wyatt, and they had Triple H. So Cody comes out, and of course he's like the one who stays the longest because he loves to talk. And the first thing he does is sits down and says, I'm gonna do what no one else is doing. And he takes a bottle of Mountain Dew pitch black that's sitting on the table, and he takes a swig, and he's like, I'm gonna be honest, guys, tastes pretty damn good. And I was like, in that moment, I'm like, this is the Cody I need.
That's Cody. That's Cody. He's a shill, and he's just like a kind of dork. Like, he's a pro wrestling ultra dork. It's hilarious.
And
he seems all right. I don't think we'd be good buddies, but like, I wouldn't find him unpleasant to be around, I don't think.
I think I would enjoy being in a room with him and other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to be like at a table with like my partner and then him and his partner. I feel like the four of us would not mesh as people.
No, like face-to-face, too much. But like office acquaintance, I think he does his work quite well on his own. As long as I don't need to rely on him, like, it's all good.
He also, like, he clearly gets what this game is. Like,
he's
doing to be the guy. But also, like,
I mean, he figured it out eventually. It took a long time.
Yeah, no, it did. But like, the point I'm trying to make here is that he is the perfect guy for this job right now, because he is willing to go above and beyond for every reason. And you know who was also that person and still is to a certain degree? It's Miz.
Like, yeah, Miz, yeah, yeah, absolutely,
dresses like, well, he'll do media at any time, he sounds good, he looks good, like he always knows how to play that part. And Cody is doing that now as well. Like, he's the guy that you can see. This is a common trope now on Good Morning America the night after WrestleMania, blah 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 blah, WWE title around his waist. And that's fine. And there's also a certain amount of like hilariousness to the way Cody is like sitting at this presser and answering questions pretty, you know, pretty eloquently and diplomatically.
He feels like a politician, although he would never make it in actual politics. He does act and carry himself as a politician, which is very beneficial for like media junkets, like for the doing this stuff. Like,
yes, well, the bar is pretty low in terms of making it as a politician.
Yeah, good. So, America, y'all got some
senator in Atlanta one day. I'm sure he has those aspirations still. And everyone's just like, he's gonna run as a Democrat. I'm like, no, he's not. He's definitely not. Anyway, I thought it was just fun. He, at one point, they get to the final question, and like, Byron Saxton is the host of this thing, and he's trying to get this thing, the press conference, like moving along, because Triple H was next. So they're like, no more questions. And Cody's like, oh, come on, let's take one more. And then they call, Byron calls on Sean, and Cody's oh God, you're not going to make the last question from Sean Ross Sapp. And Sean gets up, and they have a little repartee. I'm like, we'll go all night. And then Sean kind of makes an allusion to the contract news when he was working on a handshake deal. Cody was with AEW and about to become a free agent. And Cody's like, yeah. He's like, I wonder who broke that story. And Sean just goes deep into the mic. And he's just like, MichaelSlick.com. On a WWE presser, he got the plug in. I was popping. I thought that was just
good phenomenal. Job, Byron. Let that happen. You did not control the room.
it was just the best. I'm just like, Byron is fired. He's never They're going to show, like, Monday Night Raw is just going to be the Kathy Kelly backstage show from now on.
Hey, that sounds like a step up.
some ways it does. Let's talk about the men's Rumble. So we know.
Yeah, Rumble!
Cody wins from number 30. Gunther is the last man out, the first man in. And of course, the joke I made last night that kind of broke the room was that Cody was not only doing it for America, but he was eliminating Gunther for 1945 in World War II.
Holy hell. that's something. What I particularly appreciated from this is that Cody did 30, which is like the least heinous way to be given the crown that was very clearly going towards him.
Yes.
But also it came at a cost because he comes back from his torn pec injury, and the thing they give him is, okay, but at the end of it, you got to do like 15 minutes with Gunther just slapping the shit out of your chest.
Yeah, I got to test it somehow.
Exactly. And if it doesn't tear again, we'll let you do a WrestleMania, but not before that.
If you break it again, Gunther is going to Mania. We're going to call an audible.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that his first true test is just getting his pec just beat to tar. Yeah.
Some fun stuff in the match. I mean, you got to feel bad for Kofi Kingston.
I kind of don't feel bad because at this point it feels like that lesson should have been learned. This is now at least the second, maybe third time they've done this. It happened last year, did it?
Yeah, it's the second. It's not
okay, but it needs to like
years, though, that sucks.
Yeah, it's a shame. What made it worse was commentary leaving it kind of open. That made it ultra bad for me. Like, I didn't really see it too clearly. I thought maybe he hit it, but like his foot was up on the chair. You could have just done it, but they're like, to their credit, despite the fact that the entrance order seems to be not worth a damn anymore, they are very meticulous about the foot placement. And if you screw up your bit, you're just out. Like,
yeah, it was a really strange moment only because, he went over to the chair. It looks like he overshot whatever he was working towards.
It looked like it hurt.
Yeah, he looked like he like jammed his neck going into the chair, which luckily has padding. And then he just fell over and just played dead until they finally got him up and he walked to the back. And then, you know, it sucks because it looked hard to pull off. He's done a chair spot before.
Yeah.
Or he did like a walk around the ramp and then got on a chair and pogoed it. I think this time he was going to try and chair surf his way back. Regardless, whatever it was supposed to be, didn't do it. And that's 2 years in a row. So now Kofi, I mean, listen, egg on your face. That sucks.
I think even one, like, it just shouldn't, like, see the writing on the wall. Like, it's just harder to make it crazier and crazier. The first few were not that, like, bananas. So, although last year's wasn't really either. It just didn't work out. But
yeah, Kofi was trying to do like a barricade spot, and then
that's it. He was just supposed to hop on the barricade and plant his the front part of his feet, but didn't.
Yeah, it's a strange one. So, so I was going to say, Karrion Kross, because he's on my screen right now. Kross comes in at number 7, gets eliminated very quickly by Drew. Eventually, Karrion Kross, who by the way was defeated by Rey Mysterio the night before. So.
I think that's the thing, like, given everything, it's just not, it's a shame because like some of the bits are there and it's mostly that entrance is really dope, but like whatever it is, Karrion Kross just can't at this point. He still feels like one of those guys who like 20 years from now you'll be watching like a replay of one of these pay-per-views and he'll be like this lower mid-card guy you had completely forgotten was even there. Like, that's kind of where his stuff has plateaued. And it's just, I think it's just because there's bits of him that take it over serious, but there's like a goofiness to it. And like, some of his look isn't all together. Like, the tattoos are a shame. I feel like what he has doesn't really jive with what he's doing. And once that's there, it's there.
There's something there.
I preferred him without hair as well. Maybe really? Biased, but
I don't mind the hair. Yeah, exactly. You're just showing your hair bias. I mean, so am I, because I like his hair. I don't know. It's not that I expect Kross to be a number one contender for the title like right away. I think
no. It would have to build, but
honestly, I think eventually we might just see like Cody versus Kross as a title program,
like a quick 1 month thing, like a transitional. Yeah.
Yeah, like a quick establish Cody further as a champion when like in the summer type of thing.
Yeah, I see that. But yeah, there's still time. Like, it's just right now, like his all of his promos come across as like a bit one note. Like they're all just like, I'm a mean man. And it's like, yeah, you're kind of mean, I guess. You got a weird witchy wife. That's cool.
I mean, listen, good for him, because she's a very good looking woman.
He's doing all right. She should probably just get a flamethrower or something rather than her weird cards.
So they were talking earlier about there was an interview that Cross did with Scarlett. They were talking about they were going to start a family before they got the call to come back to WWE. So Triple H effectively is family planning. Triple H is a condom, is what I'm getting at
here. Yeah, that's yeah.
I see Jason in the chat saying that he's going to be 25 years old at midnight. Congratulations, happy birthday upcoming. Cool. Talk to me when you're in your mid-30s and everything hurts. Anyway, Brock Lesnar comes out.
Hey, that was dope. Didn't mind that at all.
Brock comes out number 12, and of course he gets the pyro because it's Brock. This was fun. Like, he house on fire, gets rid of Escobar, gets rid of Dawkins, gets rid of Gable. Both Street Profits were in and out. It kind of felt a little bad, but also...
part of it, there was something special about Ford's elimination. I don't know what it was. Like, it felt like a... Yeah, it happened fast. He also like planted it like 2 feet real hard. But like, I don't know, the outrage that like it felt like the crowd had for that was just like an early tease. He's like, he's not there yet, but he's coming. He's coming.
Yeah, it's one of those like I have a disinterest in seeing tag teams, like active tag teams in the Royal Rumble, because there hasn't no one thinks that this active tag team member is going to go in.
No, there's no.
And win.
Yeah.
Like Kofi wasn't in a tag. Like, he was part of New Day, but like Kofi wasn't a tag team member of New Day at that point.
Yeah.
When he won, like when he went to WrestleMania and did the thing, cause he didn't win the Rumble, but yeah, anyway, you get the point I'm trying to make. That having the Street Profits come in, or having New Day come in, like it, or Otis and Gable, like there's no reason to do it because they're already in a tag team.
There was like some stuff. I didn't mind how the Street Profits worked out with this. I didn't mind how, like, cause that they fulfilled the role of like padding a spot in the Rumble and doing some clownery and like, well, not the Street Profits, but I'm speaking specifically Alpha Academy did their bit. Otis being the bowling ball that he is, like, of course they're going to want him in there. With Dawkins, he came in and he like once again showed you that he is very good, like, and people should stop sleeping on him. Like, yeah, when they eventually do move on to a different gimmick, like, he is still a viable personality and they should absolutely continue to build and support him. And then Montez Ford not getting the big shine was also like, again, I feel like it was just like, it's coming, but it's not this year.
There's this like underlying feeling that they're going to have a bunch of losses, and then they're both going to look at each other and say, fam, this ain't working, and then they're going to slap five, do their thing, and then whoosh, opposite directions, and they're not going to be upset at each other. They're just like a respectful going of separate ways, and then they can reteam later. I think that's the way to do it, because clearly they have plans for Taz. Clearly Dawkins has been working his ass off to be
a, because that's the thing, he knows what's coming, and he's like, I'm not just gonna lay down and let this happen. Like, I am going to show that I am damn good. And he's leaned out a little bit, even like he's just all like, you can tell he's busting ass, and I hope they recognize that.
So before Lashley makes his entrance, I love that Gunther and Lesnar have a stare down. Yeah. And they don't do much. In fact, Lashley's music hits, and that's the first time they touch, and that is Gunther doing the slap, Brock no selling it, and then Gunther's like, oh fuck this guy, and he just does it
onto someone else.
And then that's when Bobby comes in and he eliminates Brock Lesnar. Lesnar gets pissy and throws stuff around, beats a Baron Corbin, which I loved. And then Seth Rollins comes out, and Seth, of course, is Seth, and throws Corbin into the ring just to get him out. And it
that was good. That was actually a pretty smooth spot. Like, flowed effortlessly.
Rey Mysterio comes out.
There were two things that I really found disappointing about this Rumble. One was Kofi's thing, and then no Rey replacement. It's just like a missed opportunity.
I didn't mind that, because I think there's a larger story to tell I think the Rey replacement would have been okay. So
at the end, what I'm saying is like Cody, you think I don't think Cody needs to be 30-30. Like they could have just added another little one clearly going to lose person. Like
Madcap Moss, who was supposed to be in the Rumble. He's the only one that didn't make it out of all that. But
no, like put a Joker, put like, you know, who's the Santino equivalent of today?
Madcap Moss. Thank you.
No, yeah, don't you put that on him.
Yeah, well, here we are. Listen, just because he's my champion doesn't mean I can't, you know, be realistic about this, okay? I know what I'm doing here.
Should have thrown Gable Steveson out there to suck and lose.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for that. Anyway, Rey Mysterio does not come out, and then the story becomes... first of all, I don't like the idea that people are like, oh, now there's an empty spot. No, there isn't. Rey was supposed to be there. Rey got beat up. No one's replacing him. He's just out of the match. There will be repercussions later when we've discussed.
And I like that. I liked the Dom taking the mask and everything. I liked that bit. I disagree. I think that it's the Royal Rumble. Like, put as many people in it as you can. Like,
so hold on. We don't know that Dominic was the one who beat up his dad.
No, we're assuming, which is also intriguing, but also like we're going to WrestleMania. Like, what's happening? It's going to be Dom versus Rey.
I would be perfectly okay if it turns out that it's Cross who took out Rey. And we just continue that feud.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me. That doesn't hurt me at all. So I'm okay with that. Either way, Rey Mysterio doesn't come out, but then Dominic comes out wearing the mask and he can't rip the mask, which is hilarious in and of itself. It's fun. And then listen, as we get into it, now it's the story of the Judgment Day coming in one by one. Booker T comes out and does his shtick and gets eliminated immediately.
Thank God.
But I'm a really, really big fan of having this story, like different stories coming in and coming out at the right time in the Rumble, right?
I thought it flowed very well. Like it was a very long Rumble, as you know, but Gunther breaking the record. But like, I thought it flowed really well. I wasn't bored at any moment, to tell you the truth. Like I really enjoyed the whole thing.
Yeah. So Edge comes out. Finally, he had been kind of spotted around and, eventually gets Priest and Balor out, and then Balor and Priest come back and do that stupid thing where they get Edge out of the match. I don't like that. And then, of course...
I just... The rules are never applied. Like,
no disqualification in the Royal Rumble. It's like, why? Like, why?
But that's later on, they prevent Xia Li from bringing her pole. Like, bullshit.
Kind of
let tough. Her hit people with the stick.
So then they go towards the top of the ramp, and then out comes Beth Phoenix, who spears Rhea Ripley, and I'm a big fan of that. Hey man, I think if we get to Edge and Balor versus Rhea and Beth at the Elimination Chamber, that's a huge match. But the problem is, Rhea can't lose on her way to Mania. Like, she just, unless Finn is pinned by Edge, like Edge. Okay, so we're going to get deeper into this later, but if Sammy's going to have the Elimination Chamber world title match, like if it's going to be him and Roman, and he's going to lose in his hometown. You can't have Edge in his home country lose a match, but you also can't have Rhea Ripley, the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble, lose a match on her way to the main event of WrestleMania. It's a very weird place.
It's Montreal. Edge is the most Ontarian, like Canadian in the world. He is not at all Quebec. Like,
he's still Canadian. People are going to cheer for him. I'm tempted to go to Elimination Chamber.
Me and another buddy were talking about it because, like, oh, man, February in Montreal sucks.
Awful. But it's also a long weekend for us in Ontario, not for them. That's Family Day weekend.
That's the best possible. Like,
so
not be okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I gotta figure out the accommodation.
I got another person who might be into it. So I got a buddy who lives in Montreal. Interesting. With a house. So
I see Eric in the chat being like they used to show them in movie theaters here in Canada. Funny story, I went to the very first one that Cineplex ever shown a WWE pay-per-view in, and that was the 2000 Royal Rumble. And that was Cactus Jack and Triple H in the WWE title match.
That's a good one. Awesome.
And that was the street fight. I was 15 years old. I'm old, by the way.
Oh, no. That's
so I'm a kid, and I'm watching this like bloody-ass street fight. Yeah, I was at that way back in the day. I loved that. Watching wrestling in the theater, I know like when AEW started doing it, everyone was like, oh, this sounds so cool. And I'm like, no, it's cool. But it's not as like cool as you're making it sound because I did it. Anyway, go watch wrestling in the theater sometime. It's actually a fun experience.
Yeah.
As long as you're not sitting with complete dorks. So maybe don't go watch wrestling in a movie.
Yeah, just go to a bar. There's a bunch of bars that show them.
Remember Don Cherry's? I mean, Don Cherry, the human's garbage. Remember the bar?
Yeah, I remember the bar. Yeah.
We used to do that back when I was a kid.
I assume Real Sports shows it, which is a weird place.
They should. I mean, they're owned by MLSE. We're getting into like a Toronto tangent that
we
do not understand. MLSE are the owners of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. So there you go. I'm sure you can figure out who they own. Not the Blue Jays. Anyway, Austin Theory comes out, and sure, why not?
He does this theory stuff. He's there, and he makes it to the Final Four, I think.
Like, he's pretty deep in.
Yeah, he continues to be Theory, doing Theory things.
Yeah, listen, he's a U.S. champ. You got to make it look good. Make him look good. Ricochet comes in, number 28, and then behind him is Logan Paul, makes a surprise appearance. And what's the first thing they do?
Be badass.
Do us. I in the moment I was like, oh, that's a fun spot. And then the other part, I'm just like, I retweeted this earlier. You know the Simpsons episode where they talk about the Simpson gene and all the Simpsons are dumb, all the Simpson men are dumb, and they show the two Simpson men with pots on their heads going around in a circle and hitting each other. That's what this was to me.
That's perfect, exactly, because it's Logan Paul and also Ricochet. Like, explicitly Ricochet is hilarious. Like, it was perfect. I loved it. I loved everything about it. It was hilarious.
Anyway, Logan Paul just kind of hangs out on the outside afterwards. Cody Rhodes comes out number 30. And now we're into like a long match between Gunther and Cody Rhodes after we get through all the eliminations. Seth Rollins is eliminated by Logan Paul. What do you think? Are we going to do Logan Paul and Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania now? Do you want to see that?
I don't know. I think that they would have some chemistry. Again, like, I don't know. Logan Paul has been doing well. I begrudgingly say that, but like, time plus money. Like,
it's funny because it's a standout match. It would be 2 years in a row where Seth has a match that's not a title match, but it's still a marquee match based on the opponent.
It's not him getting dumped on, that's for sure. Like, that is a focal point of WrestleMania if it happens. Like, that's a big event. So
Cody's gonna be on Logan Paul's show, by the way, so that's a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I know, Cyclops. Thank you for the cheer. Thank you for the bits. I said that specifically. It was the Simpson men suffering from the gene and not the women. Thank you. Maybe you're behind on the stream. I don't know. But either way, Cody won. Cody's like, I did it. I did it. Points to the sign, and here we are.
I enjoyed it. I really did. I think that they did really well for Gunther in this. That was like a really important thing. They did damn well for Drew and Sheamus in it. Like, I'm back. It kind of dipped for a second. I think that they managing everyone's kind of state, like their own, how popular they are, how, like, what future plans are. Like, I think they managed competing priorities very, very well in this match. Even Braun Strowman got his regular thing. The Braun and Ricochet stuff was actually kind of funny. They were doing pretty decently in the ring, so. It was good. I liked it. And Cody won, which was the assumption. I'm glad he came in at 30. I think that that's the right call.
I wanted Cody to come in at 11. I mentioned this on the watch along and on other stuff that I did throughout the week. There was the number 11 has significance for multiple reasons. On the WWE side, it was that no one's ever won from the 11 spot, and that's a WWE thing, right?
Yeah.
First time ever. The other thing, as I mentioned on the watch along, is that all of this WWE title stuff for Cody is based around his dad. And so Dream, if you don't know, his birthday was on the 11th and he died on the 11th. Mm. Not of different months, but still on the 11th.
11.
Yeah, the number 11 has some significance. So I thought maybe they would go through that. But again, I like the way that they told this story, 1 versus 30 in terms of the entrance, the last two. And it was a good match. Never a doubt in my mind that it was going to be Cody because of the way they built the field. Yeah. It was very much like Cody got all the shine, and it all works for what we're expecting at WrestleMania.
And I think they decided on 30 just because, like, look, it's his first thing back. Like, let's not make it too crazy.
Cyclops better than Logan with the bits. Thank you very much. By the way, we're on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We're co-streaming, by the way. Remember when people thought that Walter was buried for changing his name? Yeah, I agree. I always said it's just going to blow over like everything else.
Yeah. And like Walter Gunther, like it is kind of funny because Gunther is just like, okay, no. It was bad when he had a last name. It's a good thing they got rid of the last name.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of people just like faking outrage, but there was a right amount of outrage in terms of like, this is why it's wrong. But then the people who were absolutely throwing everything out the window were, you know, it's too much.
Yeah, like with the name stuff, there's so many considerations. So like there's stuff to be annoyed about.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world. Like, for example, Io Shirai, Io Sky, like
that never bugged me.
What bugs me about it is that they continue to use the tagline, which no longer works. Like that's the only issue, is that you can't say Io Sky, genius of the sky. You're rhyming a rhyme. Like, I hate that. Io Shirai, genius of the sky, works, but that's literally it. That's my only gripe with it, is that they've wanted to continue to use her nickname and it doesn't flow.
Yeah. Let's talk about my favorite match of the night. The Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Look, somehow the glow bowling of wrestling. It was like,
dude, all I wanted to do was go to Laser Quest and play big ass game of laser tag after this match.
Honestly, like I'm trying to
all night laser tag place.
It's not as bad as it could have been. It really wasn't. Like,
yeah, it's because the match was like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah. They kept it short. LA Knight got a cool little table spot. It's like, what do you do?
The table spot was like as a result of a bit of a they had a botched sequence going into it too. Like,
yeah,
they couldn't get it set up properly to do the big suplex spot, and then they lost their footing. Like, Bray's not known for being a prolific athlete.
No.
And he certainly didn't put that on display last night either.
Yeah, not a lot of athleticism, including whoever did the Uncle Howdy jump. And WWE is slightly better, but this had like big squishy ramp Jericho jump vibes. Like, it was
we're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
The kendo stick spot I thought was just, it was silly but hilarious at the same time, mainly because of that multicolored kendo stick.
Well, it was because the second the lights go off and it's like, everyone just happens to be wearing all the blacklight shit. Like,
the only one that made perfect sense was LA Knight wearing the neon
green, because he always does. Like,
yeah, he always wears bright gear. So when he comes out in the yellow, I'm like, oh, that's gonna look badass, and it did. And he's got the armband, which makes it even cooler. Then you got Bray, who comes out, and he's like, everyone was making fun of him, being like, oh, he's got Ronda Rousey's makeup specialist because he's got stupid raccoon eyes going. And then the lights go out, and he's got all the look.
He's got a whole bunch going on with his face, and then like
Mountain Dew tattoo look on his arm.
Was that for real?
Well, I mean, it's not a tattoo. It was a temp tattoo. Yeah. It was so funny and so stupid.
And like, what was the popcorn fluorescent? What the hell was all that stuff?
So it looked like it was like flakes of Lexan or like plastic.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I know why it was out there and what it really was.
It was a perfect, and you know it. That's
I know, but that's what I mean. Like, at least try to make it make sense, but I guess not. It's there because it looked cool. I noticed McAfee had a bowl of popcorn for some insane reason, which I can't imagine actually putting in your mouth while trying to do that job. Like, what? I mean, what an insane thing. I know, it's Pat McAfee doing it, so he definitely was, but it's the stupidest thing.
By the way, apparently it was not known to Michael Cole and the rest of the team that Pat McAfee was coming back last night. And I think
that's very fun. I didn't know. It was a huge surprise that I really loved. I was very excited about that.
When it happened and like Pat came out, you can see Michael Cole. They do a shot of him and he like stands up like a lost puppy. He's like,
I was just on the phone with you, you bastard.
Like, my best friend is back. It was nice. It was a nice, wholesome moment. Yeah. So the back in the ring, it wasn't good. Like,
it wasn't anything. It was just whatever. Like,
yeah. Bray wins with the Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he puts on this weird mask that you were a kid once, Tim.
Yeah.
You remember this guy?
Yeah.
You remember Gigabyte from Reboot? If you're Canadian and you ever watched the show Reboot, this is what Bray Wyatt looked like last night after his moment when he comes with that stupid mask. Why?
I don't know. I don't know what any of this was. And then they do their little walkie fight.
Yeah, they do a
crash pad.
They do a walk and brawl. They go to the whatever the area was that was next to the hard cam. And then you have Uncle Howdy go and miss by a mile, jumping off the top, doing a trust fall onto L.A. Knight. Yeah, who, sorry, I forgot.
Explodes, who then explodes like a car in a movie. Like,
I guess L.A. Knight is dead now, and we're never going to see him again. And that's unfortunate, because I really like L.A. Knight. Yeah. And then, of course, the puppets, are the live-action creepy puppets, are watching from the top of the,
yeah,
the ramp there.
Part of me wanted Uncle Howdy to just make a ridiculous, like, hee-hoo! As he jumped down, that would have made it better for me. But
looked, yeah, like he was very unsure of himself as he started to make that dive.
Yeah, yeah. It looked like the Vince McMahon coached fall, like the one, mm-hmm, on that WrestleMania without the audience. Like, it looked exactly like that fall.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Going back to Pat McAfee, this was my absolute favorite thing, was listening to Pat on the call for this match, because Pat hasn't been around to see this, like, this new Bray Wyatt since the return. So every moment something happens, he's like, what the hell is this?
He's like, what is going on? Like, it was very funny because he clearly, like he has not been watching the product, and they don't mind that he makes that clear.
Yes. And it was very funny. He's just like, who's this guy? And Michael Cole's like, that's Uncle
Howdy. Uncle Howdy. And okay.
And in that moment, that's like one of those, if you and I were sitting on the couch watching this show at home, and you haven't watched the show in like 6 months, and that would have been, you would have been like, who the hell is this guy? And I would have been like, that's Uncle Howdy. And you would have been like, who's Uncle Howdy? You'd be like, what the, nobody knows.
It's Uncle Howdy. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody knows. Just go with it, bro.
And it's very funny.
Anyway, so that was the Pitch Black match. And then
I'm glad it was second.
Conrad Thompson later on tweets out something like, you gotta assume that Mountain Dew is gonna want to run something like that back, right? And
oh God, I think
so. Matt Coon, who used to host the Gentleman Villain podcast with William Regal, he replies and tweets out, yeah, they'll call it the do-over.
Uh-huh. Like the second you said, I was like, I know where this is going.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love seeing shit like that.
That's great.
Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss have a match. It was fine. It wasn't really important.
It was fine. They looked kind of rough and kind of bad. It
wasn't good.
Like, it was all over the place.
Bliss is not performing as someone who wants to be there.
She seems very sad. I don't know what's going on.
Like, you can chalk it up and be like, oh, that's lore. But no, I honestly think she just like...
That's the thing. They're shouting at each other. It's like, you couldn't leave well enough alone. Like, I was like, what the are you talking about? Commentary is like, I don't know what she's talking about. Yeah, because she's just nuts, I guess.
And then Uncle Howdy shows up on the screen. He's like, do you feel in charge? And it's like, well, no, because I just lost.
And I've been given this gimmick I hate.
Exactly. Women's Royal Rumble match. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan are the final two. They come in. They go the distance. Rhea Ripley wins
it. Wire to wire, as Michael Cole said 8,000 times throughout the night.
That's the theme of the night. What do you think of the Women's Royal Rumble overall before we get into the funny shit that happened?
Overall, I enjoyed it as well. I thought the finish was very good. I was very, very happy with the finish, and I'm very, very happy with Rhea Ripley winning.
Becky Lynch comes in halfway at number 15. She was my pick at the end of the day when I saw the field. Doesn't win, and I guess they're going to continue the stuff with damage control.
Yeah, that I'm surprised by. But
they got to do the main event cage match redo on Raw because of all the outcry and all that. And I don't think that you can do that match, do a steel cage at Elimination Chamber, because where are you going to put the cage?
It's a cage in the chamber.
Cage inside of a cage. Cage. And it's going to be a cage inside of a cage with Nick Cage as a special commentator. Brian Cage is going to come and sign with WWE. He'll be He'll be the
head. No. Everyone who comes to WWE has to do like 6 months to a year in Impact first, because Impact doesn't sign anyone for longer than that, it seems.
That's fine. Brian Cage.
Mr. Jordan Grace. So no, he's got to go back there for 6 months, and then he can come to WWE.
My God, he doesn't even get $7 there. I can't do that. Emma was in the match and Candice LeRae was in the match. Like, there was some good standout.
It was very like, here's the Triple H people.
Yeah,
to no reaction, which is a shame because they're all very talented. It's just their characters have had zero development because there's no women's tag division. There's no, like, you know.
Asuka comes out and is looking badass. Everyone's mentioning the Kana look and the face paint and the new gear. And I thought it's great. I she's needed this refresh for a while. I'm glad we got it. What do you think of that?
Moveset felt reinvigorated too. Like, she seemed lighter in her step, like in the ring in general. Like, I think she just put on a damn good performance and she seems like back into it.
She got a hair. That's what did it.
Yeah, it was weighing it out.
That's right. And then Piper Niven comes back. It's not Doudrop anymore.
I know. And then commentary does a very annoying bit for like a full couple of minutes. And I'm just like, okay, yeah. You could just explicitly say she was named Doudrop. The one line that was good out of that was Eva Marie, like, feels like jealous somewhere, which is incredibly mean, but like, not wrong.
They got a little meaner because Tamina came out. No, not Tamina. Chelsea Green comes out.
Yeah, that was funny.
She comes out and so two things happen. First of all, she's in and out in 10 seconds, not even like 4 seconds.
It was a record. It was five. Yeah.
Yeah. So beats the Liv Morgan record, which actually this was the Rumble to do it because you were trying to establish Liv Morgan as someone who was credible in the Royal Rumble this year. Yeah. And then as she gets thrown out, you've got Corey Graves screaming out, I didn't even have a chance to make fun of her husband.
Her husband. Very good.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. And that's these little things are nice because like they're one-off lines that like a lot of people aren't going to get, but it doesn't matter because it's 1 second of hours of blathering on. Like, it's fine.
And then you got people who are just like, oh, you're completely undermining Chelsea Green by having her return and then look like an idiot.
She's fine.
That's the point of this whole thing, because her gimmick is essentially going to be, she's a Karen.
Yeah, subscribe like
for more.
Yeah, I mean, going back to like all of the concepts she pitched, like,
but that's know, the thing,
what do you want? What do you want from this?
Yeah.
Oh man, they did an OnlyFans joke on the air too, and I was like, oh,
hey, I missed it.
Yeah, Michael Cole was like, I have to look up some stats on Chelsea Green, and then Corey Graves was like, oh, you can't look up that on you can't look at that site on your work phone.
It's funny because she also closed that down when she got her contract.
Yeah, well,
so funny. Yeah, and then Becky goes on a tear. Then Zelina Vega comes out and Zelina's wearing the Street Fighter gear.
Oh my God, the Street Fighter tie-in was so irritating to me.
It was stupid. I listen, I'm not a big Zelina Vega fan. I have my reasons.
Nor I.
Yeah. Cole says the last video game he played was Space Invaders.
That was funny.
And then I was reading over the Wade Keller report. He put in, mine was Tetris. Oh, I was like, oh shit, I get it. Psycho's better than Logan with the cheer. Thank you very much. Saying, I don't know how you can hear any of those one-liners and still say Vince is booking behind the scenes.
Yeah, like that's. I'm surprised it's still going. It's good to hear it because it does add a little bit more life to it. Like, because that was one of my biggest gripes, and it still is for Raw, is the commentary, and it's improved quite a bit because they just get a little bit more freedom and they can, you know, talk about more than the same like eight prescribed phrases they're allowed out anytime. Like.
Raquel Rodriguez comes out. That's nice. And then Lacey Evans comes out. Okay.
So. Oh, you mean fascist Barbie. Got it.
First, it's Lieutenant Lacey is what they're trying.
Fascism Barbie.
He's a stand-up maggots away from really.
Salute me. I was like, well, I don't know. There's definitely some military members in the audience. You'd have to figure out which ones outrank you. Like, it's complicated. You can't just command everyone to salute you. Some should, like, some should.
She was military police. She had nothing. Like, she
yeah,
wasn't.
Yeah, it was there. Awful.
So Lacey comes out. And last night, two nights ago on SmackDown, she came out and had her re-debut match against Jasmine Allure. And wins the match, blah, blah, blah. And then I made the joke. I was just like, when Lacey Evans and Michelle McCool look at each other in the Rumble match, and it's the Spider-Man photo. The Spider-Man photo. And then number 25 is Michelle McCool sitting front row center with her kids. And she's like, oh, me? What?
It's in my hideous like brand, like way to write that contract where you can advertise your terrible clothes. Like,
yeah. So she comes out, she does a thing. You know what? Michelle McCool still looks good. Like,
she's, yeah, yeah, yeah. Still totally.
So yeah, it's whatever. I was waiting for more interaction between Lacey and Michelle McCool, but we didn't get it because it was pretty quickly in and out.
Yeah.
Independence Hartwell comes in. Sonya Deville comes in. I like that Sonya was not made to look stupid. She's
no, part of Final she was Three. Solid in this. She was kicking out NXT girls. It was good. Sorry,
Final Four is Sonya Deville. Yeah. And she was, and it made perfect sense to have her go that far because she has a title match on Friday against Charlotte Flair. So you have to make her look at least somewhat credible.
Kind of a threat. Yeah.
Yeah. Shotzi comes out. Sure. And then Nikki, I love Shotzi, but like, I know, at that point, you know, Nikki Cross comes out. She does the warrior run down to the ring.
She bolted. It's good. I love the long ass ramp. I know so many people hate it. I love it. I love it. It's so absurdly big. It's so good.
It's not so bad. It was the taking the turn. People were starting to slip, which made me laugh.
Oh yeah, that's even funnier. Keep doing it. What I didn't get, some faces were like just not about high fiving the many, many children on the way. And I was
children. Hey man, we still live in a COVID time. Nia Jax, then speaking of COVID, makes her return.
Which I knew this was coming the second the Rumble started. I was like, oh shit, yeah, Nia Jax is probably coming back. All these cops are getting rehired, all the TTC folk getting rehired, like they're gonna do a make good.
Yeah, she's the only woman who can like talk shit about literally everyone and everything related to her job and then get called back for it.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell.
Anyway, she comes like, out,
ooh, they Nia Jax
up, they messed up her reveal. They basically hit her music and then started the countdown clock. And then they hit the buzzer for a split second, and she was already halfway down the ring, down to the ramp to the ring. Sure, whatever. I was expecting everyone to toss her out and for her to yell "my hole," and that would be it. That's not where we went for this.
No, it was fine. The shtick they did was okay. It's been done 1,000 times at this point, but whatever.
Exactly. Anyway, it was fine. It was. Hebrew with the super chat adrenaline. My hole. And Cyclops with the bits. Thank you again, by the way. Michelle McCool's gear was as bad as her husband on the
He's doing one of those like, whoa, I remember when. Come see. I remember when.
Show. My one dead man show is where you can hear all about my fear of cucumbers.
Oh, holy hell.
Don't ask me about pickles. Don't put them on chicken sandwiches. I only like Chick-fil-A. Anyway, Rhea Ripley.
Bigot chicken. He loves the bigot chicken.
That's right. Of course he would. It's the only one my pastor lets me eat. Not awesome. Rhea Ripley wins. She goes 61 minutes, which is great. I'm really happy for Rhea Ripley. Don't know how we tell the Rhea Ripley story from here on out because we got Dom Mysterio stuff we got to wrap up, and she's got to get her way into the women's title, really the women's division, because Rhea Ripley hasn't really been in the women's.
No, she's been beating up men all year.
Yeah, it's like she's been working with the guys, and like she was injured and had a bunch of issues and yada yada. But like even while she was unable to wrestle, she was still doing stuff with the guys. So I was always, that's why everyone was like, oh, Rhea's going to win the Rumble. She has to. And I'm like, I don't think she does, but clearly they have a plan at this point.
I think it's good. I think it's the right move. Like, I'm really excited. That finish was so beautiful. Like, just that the legs whipping Liv out was so, like, vicious looking. Very strong.
Back when men were men and they didn't fear vegetables.
My God. Yeah, I don't know. You could obviously do the Charlotte one. That's the easy thing because they have the WrestleMania match that was like, meh. I don't know. I think Bianca's more engaging because like Rhea's this like very intimidating figure right now. Mm-hmm. Like, but Bianca is also like an imposing powerhouse like babyface. So like I think that the two like very like diametrically opposed personas really, really works. It's easy to build that. Like Rhea has just been dominating like a lot of TV time in general. So I don't think that she needs to just be out there like beating up women in the division, because she is literally leading a group of people who have been a pain in the ass for over a year. So
I agree with you. And yeah. I think you make a very good point. So
I don't want to see her in Charlotte, because I just don't think there's as much there. It's literally the WrestleMania thing.
It's funny because I do want to see that versus her and Bianca. I'd rather see her in Charlotte because there's history there. There is.
Yeah, it's there. Like,
and this is an opportunity to have Rhea right the wrong from the last WrestleMania, where Charlotte won the Rumble, and not the last one, but the last time they faced off, Charlotte won the Rumble, and then she won the NXT championship. That was a really cool year, except for the pandemic that messed everything up. Because the 2020 Rumble, the Women's Rumble, was the NXT Women's Rumble. There were so many NXT women that showed up. Charlotte wins, and she's like, I want the NXT championship. Goes after Rhea Ripley, and it was supposed to be a big, big showing for both women. And then it didn't.
Well, no crowd makes it. Yeah.
Not only no crowd, but like nothing. Because that was the PC mania. Yep. That was wild.
It's very, I don't know. I'm still on the Bianca side, but we'll see. I'm open to either. I don't hate it.
And then they come back from commercial and they set up the ring for a Hardy performance.
Why? Who wants to tell me that this person is significant? What the hell was this? I've never heard of this person. He doesn't look like someone who should be famous. He doesn't sound like someone who should be famous. The band was weird. There was no bass player. There were two guitar players. There was a bass playing. I don't know what the hell was. I couldn't tell if the drums were live or not, because at some points it was.
So it was entirely tracked.
Like, and who the fuck puts fireworks on during a performance?
Okay, hold on. Now that happens.
So pyro happens, explosions don't.
If you're Nickelback, it does. First of all, I thought it was going to be Rebby Hardy, so I was clearly sold bill of goods there. It wasn't good. And when we were watching the watch along, like, two things came to mind. One, you know who he looks like? The love child of Mitch Hedberg and Jonathan Davis of Korn.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He also can't sing very well, and those are some of the stupidest lyrics I've ever heard uttered. And there is a lot of most lyrics are not good, but like, what the hell?
Even worse is, how can I put this lightly? I like Saliva, the band. I actually really liked the band for several years.
Yeah,
and I said this
when I was 13.
Yeah, of course. This was country Saliva, and I liked Saliva. So this, it's like worse than that. It was so bad, man.
It was awful. And I don't understand it. That's what I mean. Like, cause someone with money is really into this, and I don't know who or why. Is this what Texas is like? I hope to never go.
He's from Nashville.
Talented people live there. Why the hell would he get any attention?
He thinks he's a country singer. He's not a country singer.
He's neither a country singer nor a rock singer. He's a horrible atrocity born of both.
Exactly. It was not good. Luckily, it was. Yeah.
Wow, that sucked. That was all terrible.
Yeah, it was not fun. But what was fun was the main event. Mm. Roman Reigns, KO have a really solid match. Luckily, Roman kind of put a little pep in his step, and his entrance didn't take 20 minutes. It only took 5. He is the least famous Hardy. I do agree with that statement.
I don't think he's famous. I don't know why he's being treated as such.
Just listen, Paul, I know you're watching. Could you just announce that Poppy will perform on both nights of WrestleMania? Just put me out of my misery. We need Poppy back. 19 minutes, Reigns over KO. They do the barricade spot, so I immediately thought of you, because of
course it was good here. Hey, look, the occasional barricade spot, limited to premium live events, totally fine with me. If it's being done every second week on Raw, I really don't care.
During the watch along, we're like, how do we get to the Sammy and KO or Sammy and Reigns interaction? I'm like, you take out the referee, and then what happens literally 10 seconds later? You take out the referee, and then I love the way that this starts with get the chair, go get the chair. And what happens is Sammy is so like unsure of himself, and he's so like, conflicted, eventually gets a chair. He goes to the wrong space to get the chair. Like
he couldn't find one because they all have the padded ones now. And then Heyman's like, over here, the chair under the ring, dumbass.
Like, on time, but it was very interesting, very fun. And then thank God it's over. And then the beatdown starts.
My God, no, those stare, like, thank God Kevin Owens is okay, because that stare bump looked vicious, and he did it twice, and it looked horrible both times. Was so scared.
I'm asking if there's Raw today in the chat, and I'm like, well, it's Sunday, so probably I said now when I meant not.
Oh, see, now you look dumb.
I corrected myself. Anyway, so Usos beat down KO some more, and Solo's there too. And they're just beating him down. And Sammy's just, again, conflicted. He's like, I want to stop this, but I don't know what to do.
You don't need to do this. Yeah, like, you beat him. Like,
conscience, right? And then they pull out the handcuffs. And, of course, you know, Rhea Ripley's probably like, who raided my bag? And so she got them back. And they cuff up KO. They beat him down. They do a super kick party. The Young Bucks are excited. And then they finally get to Roman with the chair. And Sammy's like, no, stop it. And they do this huge high drama, high moment. I was so good. I can't even explain it. I mean, over 20 million people have watched this on WWE's YouTube channel. And I need you to go back and watch it because it's so, so good. Everyone is playing such an incredible part. And Sammy's like, you know, you can't do this. It's over. It's done. You made your point. And Roman just starts losing his shit. And he starts saying things like, you can go back and start doing jackass shit. You know, I made you. You're Sammy Uso. You're the guy. And then eventually Sammy hits Roman with a chair.
And then he just turns to the Usos knowing that he's just signed his death warrant, basically. And it was like so. And like we said, this was how it was going to go down. Like this didn't get overwritten. There wasn't any like real, like this was always how it had to be. And essentially the nice, clean, easy way to get here that actually felt like something. And it was super, like, it was so good. And then just with one twist that we didn't talk about. And that's Jay not falling in line right away, which immediately was like, oh my God, this is so perfectly circular. It's very, very satisfying because this all started with Jay and Roman, right? And it's just like.
So, okay, we gotta break this down. So first of all, yeah, you mentioned the Jay stuff. There's a pay-per-view coming up in Montreal. There's a reality at play, and that is Jimmy Uso cannot make it across the border. Jay, however, can. There is, he can with petition. He can. I really, really think that they're going to do Sammy and Roman. Okay. And I've said this on other podcasts. I'll say it again. The big pop, the big moment over beyond the WrestleMania show, whatever Dave Meltzer said last night about like, oh, you have to do Sammy and Roman now at WrestleMania. No, you don't.
You really don't. You don't.
Because you know what you do, and you're going to create a huge moment out of this. Sami Zayn in his hometown coming out in a world title match for the first time in how many years with his old music, with his hair cut and his beard trimmed back to normal, back to the way that people loved him before all this shit started. That's it.
As the most over guy in all of WWE, being honest, like
he can lose.
Yes.
And it would be perfectly fine. And you can still do the Cody stuff. And again, you have another 4 weeks until WrestleMania at that point. You have more than that. You've got 6 weeks till WrestleMania at that point. You can tell that Cody and Roman story kind of off to the side while you're building to Sammy and Roman at Elimination Chamber in 3 weeks. Yeah. As for Jay, if the story is that Sammy and KO are going to reunite and they're going to take out the Usos at WrestleMania for the tag titles, well, Jay is going to be integral to the ending of the Elimination Chamber match. Jay's going to be conflicted. He's going to be upset. He's going to play it off perfectly as he's really pissed off. He's like, he already posted. He's like, I'm out of the bloodline. Run it back, me and Roman, blah, blah, blah. Jay's going to come out in support of Sammy. Sammy is somehow going to win a match, quote unquote, where the bloodline is barred from ringside at Elimination Chamber. Jay's going to second Sammy off to the ring, and Jay is going to cost Sammy the match against Roman Reigns. And then the bloodline's going to, or at least Solo at least, is going to come out and beat down Sami Zayn afterwards, yada, yada, yada. We get to the WrestleMania main event.
Yeah,
thanks. So. At least the tag title match. And that's how you do it. And that's how I would do it. And we're going to find out in a few short weeks at Elimination Chamber how they do it. But I mean, the way they did it last night really, really worked. And it got a lot of people talking.
Sure did.
I have never heard this. And it's been a long time that I've been watching WWE programming and wrestling programming. I haven't heard a pop so loud that it peaked the audio on the feed. And that happened last night. I thought that was pretty cool.
The fuck you Roman chant was so, and him reacting to it was so wild. Like,
really good stuff. And that's the Royal Rumble. We did it in about an hour. I promised everyone an announcement last week and we didn't get it. So instead we're going to do it this week. Tim, do you want to, lead things off here?
I guess. Bullet point is that I'm so tired. No, it's I've got a ton of things going on right now, like a whole lot. I got a band that's starting to do a lot more, and I have to edit a million things, and I'm getting a new studio, 1,000 different things. Long short of it is that I can't watch like 8 hours of content every single week. Like I still like pro wrestling. I see people in the comments like calling me on my shit sometimes, because sometimes like I'm not giving you the deep analysis that you deserve. I'm also like not a particularly interesting perspective, I don't think. Like there are 300 pro wrestling podcasts and my voice is more or less just another one on the pile. And if I can't even watch the content is in as in-depth of a way as most of you are, I don't really see what value I'm adding to like the weekly discussion about the TV shows is what I'm saying.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I like Tim. Yeah. I think a lot of you like Tim as well.
I like Tim.
I put this over as many times as I can to anyone who'll listen. One thing, and I've said this to you, Tim, one thing that I love about my conversations that we have is that Tim is not plugged in the same way a lot of other fans who take in this kind of content are. And as a result, our conversations are so much more different than someone who is plugged in and reading FIFO Select all the time, or reading Dave Meltzer all the time, or reading PWS or whatever it is. Tim is a little bit different, and I appreciate that. And that's why, Tim, I still want to do this show with you. I think you and I have kind of talked about we're going to do this as pay-per-views, PLEs, whatever you call it. You and I will sit back. We'll talk about them because you're going to commit to those and watch those. Am I right?
I can watch 2 or 3 hours, you know, a week. That's fine. 8 is a bit much.
So yes, here I am. I'm firing Tim.
Yeah.
And yeah, actually I agree with Pro Wrestling Podcast. It is a curse being plugged in sometimes. It's true. So because I'm firing Tim, I had to find a replacement. And so I started talking to a bunch of people and I was just like, man, I don't know who the hell I want to do a podcast with. And then someone was like, I got an idea. And so ladies, gentlemen, and friends beyond the binary, I have a new co-host for this show starting next week, and they're here right now. So you might know this person. Say hi to Kate. Miss Kate Fabe's joining us.
She's hello. Like you can call it like it is, okay? You wanted to pop a rating.
Yeah.
You wanted to bring me on for the week to week. It's time for Tim to move to the part-timer role. He's on the Brock Lesnar deal with the show. Yeah. He's showing up for a Saudi Arabia PLE every once in a while. Yep. He's gonna come back here. He's going to squash me in like 3 seconds, ending my beautiful reign. But very, very excited. Joel and I have talked about doing a show before, and it just never really got fully off the ground. We had tossed around doing a music one. We had a fun one that had a short sprint that we just never really committed to. And
leave it for Tuesdays, damn it.
But I'm very excited to step in here, and Tim is awesome. I'm so glad that his perspective is still going to be shared and that he's going to find a manageable way to participate. And
yeah, because they still do all the little packages before the matches. I just get to see only the best stuff and none of the terrible garbage. So I'll leave y'all with thanks. The terrible garbage.
I'm watching the terrible garbage on a weekly basis anyway. So
exactly.
But sincerely, I think before Fightful Overbooked, you guys had this idea and this vision to kind of build out what Fightful Over, but I don't know if that's too like behind the curtain, but before everything kind of switched around on the intent of this channel, you guys had already had the show and we're planning on building out, getting different voices and perspectives on here. And this is kind of a really cool transitional moment for that, is that this grew into something kind of organically bigger. And I think it's really, really cool that you're going to get to still be on, still participate and give your thoughts. But the realization of what you guys kind of intended to do came about in this really cool way. Hi, kitty cat.
You don't see the cat, but they're there every show.
Kitty. My dog is like at my feet right now. She can't jump up right now because she has heartworm that we're getting treated.
Oh,
so no. She like isn't in a jumping position, but I can't wait to get her cute little face on the screen. She's such a little angel. But we will keep the pet's legacy going as well. Don't you worry, Tim.
and that's the thing, like the content of the show is not really going to change. Like Kate and I are going to have different perspectives 100%. We're still going to talk about high level stuff from the week. We're going to mess around and like make stupid comments. I'm sure of it. I know, right? I'm gonna have to pull Kate back out of the sour zone once in a while. I know it. It's fine, but I'm gonna have
to pull Joel into it every now and then. I know that too.
Okay, so we're swapping the roles pretty organically.
Yeah, we're gonna be okay.
See, Pile Driver, you'll still have someone who kind of hates wrestling.
There, see, that's good. Yeah. Pile Driver in the chat was like, Tim, why are you leaving? I like that you're here. Plenty of those people still exist on Twitter. They're just
I can serve the way I need to, but it's actually kind of funny though. Truly, Joel and I talked about like, okay, if Tim is exiting, what do we want to do? And we kind of came to the conclusion that like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like there's a really great thing that you guys have created here from not only the two of your perspectives, but from a format perspective as well. We didn't want to shift anything in a major direction because this is working. It's fun. It's accessible. People already love it. So I'm just going to kind of slide in as the co-host to what's already going on. We're still going to call it. I'm just going to assume the name Tim. All right, we're not going to change anything. I'm just going to be Kate.
Joel's got a thing.
Do I gotta find it? Oh, shit.
Oh, I hope you don't have to find
it. You can just call me Tim. We don't have to change a thing. It's going to be really good. So
Tim, I'm going to remove you from
there. Yeah, I was going to say, pop me out.
Yeah, hold on. Here we go. So this is how it's going to look from now on. It's literally Kate call it in the ring. Fightful Over.
And if you've noticed.
Yes, look at the logo.
This is Elizabeth.
I've heard a splurge on a new one.
Why bother, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But yeah, a testament to what you guys have created so far. And I think it's going to be really fun to slide into the co-hosting role and to have you involved. I am new Tim. I am new Tim.
That's right. It's just like new coat, but it's much worse.
It's probably better for you.
It's like new pitch black, but it's much worse.
It's kind of like how they tried to get rid of the Banger Bros yesterday and Pat McAfee wouldn't let them.
And
Sheamus tweeted, the Banger Bros are dead. Long live the Banger Bros. That killed me.
Got his cake and he got to eat it too. Oh my God.
He eats very messy.
He is, man.
That's what his sweaty ass. He's probably got a staph infection now.
Oh, that poor messy bitch.
Well, we all know WWE medical ain't tending to a staph infection, so good luck with that.
Little Z-Pack and Sheamus.
That's right. That's all right.
All right. I think we've just about sufficiently killed this business. So I think it's time to get out of here. Tim, do you wanna do the thing where people can find you and stuff?
Don't find me. Leave me alone now. Leave me alone. At Tim Stone P, TimBStoneP on Instagram.
I don't know why I'm gonna tell Kate. Kate, you wanna plug stuff?
I talk about wrestling on Fightful a lot, mostly on Tuesdays and Fridays, but also behind the paywall on Mondays. I'm also at Mark Order Pod on Wednesday nights, talking about all things AEW. And hell, if you're going on the Jericho cruise, you can find me there, respectfully, please. but I will be on the Jericho cruise at the end of the week. Very much looking forward to not having reception.
Kate's gonna lose all her money in the casino.
Only if it's a casino battle royal.
Oh man.
I'm already regretting this.
Mission accomplished.
I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-A-R-L. We're going to be back next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. But until then, there is a ton of content here at Fightful Overbooked. Go watch it. Go check it out. Do the thing. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.